Welcome to the National Presbyterian Church podcast. I'm Pastor Ray Hilton, and I'd like to personally say how thrilled we are to share our sermon with you this week. If you feel encouraged by our messages, we invite you to hit the subscribe button so you will never miss an episode. Now, let's go to the National Presbyterian Church sanctuary and hear the word of the Lord.
The scripture reading today is from Numbers chapter 11, verses 24 to 30, which can be found on page 114 of your pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. But they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of the chosen men, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his spirit on all of them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It was Confirmation Sunday, and there were 10 youth about to be confirmed in the service. It was also Pentecost, so it was a very festive morning. The congregants were mostly dressed in red. The kids wore their finest clothes for the event, and I was really proud as their youth pastor. Just like Ginny walked up, the lay reader walked up to the lectern and opened the Bible to read the passage for the morning. It was not what Ginny read. It was from Acts chapter 2, describing how the Holy Spirit came upon the church at Pentecost. But all of a sudden, there was a wind, a breeze, something in the sanctuary that made the Bible pages flutter. And it was like this kind of a sanctuary. There wasn't a way that wind could come in. It was super mysterious to all of us, and we really felt like the Holy Spirit had fallen afresh on us that morning. It was completely unexpected, and there was nothing that we had done to bring it about. But that's sort of how the Holy Spirit works, and we're going to look at that and a few other things in the next few minutes. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The text that Ginny read for us was a bit unusual for Pentecost. Typically, we hear about how the disciples and others who believed in Jesus had gathered in Jerusalem 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, and Jesus had already been ascended into heaven, and something happened. God sent the Holy Spirit to that church, those people, and all of a sudden they could begin speaking and understand languages that previously they had been unable to. That was mysterious. And so those folks who saw all this happen said, "Well, that's because they're all drunk." And it was early in the morning, and it wasn't because they were drunk. Peter stood up, and he read from the prophet Joel that describes how the Holy Spirit is going to fall afresh on people that love God. And Peter says to those gathered, "This is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the Holy Spirit descended to the church. But as we heard, that wasn't the only time the Holy Spirit has been sent to God's people. So let's look a little bit at what is going on in this Numbers passage to make sense of this story today. Moses and the Israelites had been wandering the desert for about a year at this point. And Moses keenly felt the responsibility of guiding the people upon him. They were not a thankful group. Comparison and complaint were lodged deep in their hearts. They focused on their misfortune instead of having gratitude for God for saving them from slavery in Egypt. They grumbled loudly about their circumstance. And God wasn't having any of that. In the beginning of chapter 11, God's anger burned against the people so much so that a portion of the edges of the camp were singed with fire. That scared the people. They cried out to Moses, who intervened on their behalf, and the fire abated. Yet the people still complained about their circumstance. They cried out about their cravings. They wanted meat and fish and other good food that they remembered from their time in Egypt. And none of that was available where they were. They sneered at the manna that God had provided for them. And they laid all that dissatisfaction upon their leader's shoulders. That load of responsibility, though, began to be too much for Moses, and so he cried out to God. And he said, if this is the way it's going to be, if it was just him alone managing the complaints of the never-ending, discontented Israelites, then Moses would rather be dead. Moses didn't want to carry the weight of the Israelites grumbling and the burden of their unmet expectations any longer. God wasn't upset by this rawness, though. God heard Moses and instructed Moses to gather 70 elders from amongst the Israelites to gather in the tent of meeting, the place in the camp where God would dwell with the people. God promises to take some of that Holy Spirit that's on Moses and spread it among the elders. And by doing so, God would give authority to them to help Moses manage the burden of leadership. And this is where our story for the morning starts. Because God put the Holy Spirit on those elders in the tent of meeting, they began to prophesy. That was the visible expression, the visible sign to the rest of the Israelites that God's Spirit rested on them, that those elders did, in fact, have the power and the authority with them. God empowered those elders to help Moses manage the day-to-day responsibility of leadership within the camp. And for me, this is where the story gets interesting. I'm sure for you too. Because we're introduced to Eldad and Medad, who were two men that were close by, but not in that tent of meeting, part of the group of the 70 elders. And what makes it interesting is what happens to them. Unexpectedly, God splashes the Spirit on them. And they start displaying the same sign of the Spirit as the elders. They begin to prophesy to others in the camp. We hear that this unexpected development rattled Joshua, Moses' right-hand man. And so he runs to Moses and he tries to persuade Moses to shut Medad and Eldad down. I wonder if Joshua was a Presbyterian. He wanted things done to be decently and in order, and this was not that. This was unexpected. This was extravagant. To Joshua, and most likely the other Israelites in camp, Eldad and Medad were just regular folks. I don't think they were elders, and yet they were manifesting the presence of God's Spirit. Joshua thought that that would perhaps be confusing to the rest of the Israelites, and perhaps it was even stealing some of Moses' thunder. But Moses had a different perspective and a different take on this than Joshua. In fact, Moses wasn't threatened by it at all. He told Joshua that this experience was a gift. It was a gift that should be more broadly conveyed on people, not fewer people, more Medads, more Eldads should have God's Spirit on them. This is very interesting to me for several reasons. Why Eldad and Medad don't appear to be part of the 70 elders, God still had a plan to use them and to have them serve and bless the people. By anointing the Spirit on them, God set these men apart and consecrated them to work for God's glory. We don't know what their ministry entailed, and we don't hear about the results of their work. This is the only time they appear in Scripture. But it's enough for us to know their names and to see that God will put His Spirit to use through people in ways that are unexpected and delightful. The story also reminds us to be ready and open to God. Those two men were quietly minding their business. They were off to the side, not in the tent of meeting. But God drew them into that event and began pouring the Holy Spirit out on them and equipping them to serve the Israelites. God had plans for them, and they responded to that call. So be ready. We don't know how God might use us in the various situations and circumstances in which we find ourselves. We might not be part of the main drama, but God could still invite us in and equip us to do what He has called us to do. The last point this story highlights is that God doesn't put limits on who God uses to serve and bless others. God takes those who are willing and equips them to do the ministry for God's purposes at any time and any place. God's plans and objectives are grander and more encompassing than ours are. So, what do you make of the Holy Spirit? For some of you, you understand the Holy Spirit. You see the Holy Spirit at work in your lives. But for others of you, it could be a little confusing. It could be a little woo-woo. I've used that term before, a woo-woo, when talking about the Holy Spirit. Because I used to find it a little woo-woo myself. I had seen experiences, probably on TV, you know, those televangelist folks, speaking in tongues and those miraculous healings, and it seemed exaggerated, maybe even fake to me. And so that made me uncomfortable. And I also grew up in a church that probably never talked about the Holy Spirit except on Pentecost. So my discomfort with the Holy Spirit had a lot to do with my ignorance about the third person of the Trinity. But there's also another component of this. I think the Holy Spirit is more mysterious than God or Jesus. In the Old Testament, even in this story, we hear God's voice. We see what God does. God answered Moses' prayer, responded to Moses, and did something about it to lift the burden of that leadership from Moses. In the New Testament, we see Jesus interacting with disciples and other people. We hear Him tell the parables. We get a better understanding. He comes alive to us in ways like God does for the Old Testament. But the Holy Spirit, not so much. The Holy Spirit is a little quieter. Even when we see the Holy Spirit act, as in Jesus' baptism, when the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove, we hear God's voice say, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So the Holy Spirit is quieter, and that makes it mysterious to me. But I think the Holy Spirit is crucial because God works through the Holy Spirit to accomplish God's purposes on earth. Jesus told the disciples before his crucifixion that the Father would send the Advocate, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit to the church, that they would not be alone after Jesus ascends to heaven. God sent the Holy Spirit to the church on Pentecost in Jerusalem so that those who believed in Jesus would be empowered to build up the church, to spread the good news of the gospel. And today, the Holy Spirit continues to build up the church. Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is a comforter, a source of assistance to believers in time of need. The Holy Spirit also comes alongside us and supports us through difficulties. The Holy Spirit gives us discernment so that when we read the Bible, we are able to understand what it's about and apply it to our lives. Have you ever felt that kind of nudge when you've done something wrong? I think that's the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin. The Holy Spirit also empowers us to be more like Christ by filling us up with the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, kindness, patience. The Holy Spirit equips believers with spiritual gifts to do God's work in the world by giving us wisdom and knowledge and discernment of spirits, faith, interpretation of tongues, being able to speak in tongues, prophecy. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we don't know what to pray, when we're facing trials and temptations. The Holy Spirit is praying for us. And the Holy Spirit also seals us in baptism, and we are marked as Christ's own in that sacrament. The Holy Spirit's job description is vast, but it's very intimate. When we're at our worst, when we're in our deepest place of need, it is the Holy Spirit who is there with us. The Holy Spirit's one comforting us and equipping us and helping us manage, keep us going, so to speak. This Holy Spirit gives us what we need to be faithful disciples of Jesus, to hang with it when it's hard. The Holy Spirit continues to heal people and build up the church, encourage the church. The Holy Spirit is as active and alive now as the Holy Spirit was on that day in Jerusalem. So you might wonder, well, so what are you talking about? Can you explain this a little better? Because you're being all theological and I want the practicalities. Well, God did something miraculous to me on Friday and gave me an experience that is the absolute perfect sermon illustration. So you're going to hear about it. I discovered on Friday that my driver's license was missing from my wallet. And it was highly unusual. You all need to know, I don't lose things, especially important things like credit cards and driver's licenses, those kinds of things. I couldn't find it in my wallet. I looked everywhere. I looked all through my purse. It wasn't there. I looked through jackets that it could have been in, another purse that it could have been in. And then I started praying because I was getting really kind of panicked at this point. Then I thought, oh, I know, it probably fell out when I was using my credit card to pay some things yesterday. So I called the stores that I went to the day before. Nothing. No luck. No luck. No one had turned in my driver's license. At this point, I'm getting really kind of anxious and very upset because I'm getting scared. What does that mean that I can't find my driver's license, right? But God sent one of you to me. One of our elders texted me out of the blue, and she said this, "Good morning. You were on my heart. Is there anything I could do to pray for you?" Was she kidding? Yes, there was something she could do to pray for me. So I texted right back and told her what had happened, and she's like, "I'm on it." And she started praying right away. And I felt a little bit of peace, just a little bit. And then I thought, oh, maybe I didn't have my license earlier in the week. Maybe I lost it like when I went to the Giant and the gas station. So I called them up. Was it there? No, it wasn't there either. But despite coming to my senses and thinking there is no place else for this license to be, I felt peace. I was about to pull the trigger and to go online to DMV for Virginia and ask for a replacement license. But before I did that, I said, you know what? Go sit down in your living room on your stairs and just be quiet for a moment. And so I did. I was quiet. And all of a sudden, I got a vision of the purse that I wear on Sunday mornings. If you see me without my robe, you'll see my purse. Little black one. And that filled my mind. And I thought, oh, well, I did go out to lunch with a staff member and I pulled out a credit card and my license to pay. Maybe it is in there. So I called the church. And Sherry, who works in finance, she answered. And I told her what was going on. She goes, "Let me go look." So she goes into my office, she looks, and I can hear her through the phone. "I found it! It's there!" I was so relieved. I was so relieved. I texted my elder right away, your elder, our elder, and we were praising God together. It was a great day. I did not like that experience, y'all. I took one for the team to be able to give you this sermon illustration. But I think it does highlight some very important points about the Holy Spirit. It started when the elder thought of me and felt a pull to reach out and text me, "Is there anything I can pray for you about?" And because she listened to that still small nudge, I was blessed. I wasn't alone in this experience anymore. I had someone with me. And then God gave me places to look. I just was like, oh yeah, I did go to that store. I did do this. I did do that. Maybe it is in this purse. Blah, blah, blah. God gave me all those ideas. Now, I had to wait longer than I would have liked, but I realized that I was at the end of my rope. There was no place else to look when I sat on those stairs in my living room. So that's why when this vision of my purse came up, I knew that was also from God. And because all of this happened, because I was able to be receptive and open to seeing that maybe the Spirit was being at work in my life, that all this happened for God's glory. And to remind me, I'm not alone. The Holy Spirit wants to be a part of every piece of my life. The Holy Spirit wants to be a part of your lives as well. So for all of us who have confessed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I've got really good news for you. You already have the Holy Spirit within you. God puts the Holy Spirit in you at that point. All of you need to just open your eyes and look around day to day and see, how was the Holy Spirit at work with me today? You also don't have to be special. It's not just because a pastor or an elder. You all have it. Even children, once they're baptized, are filled with the Holy Spirit to guide us, to strengthen us, to teach us, to comfort us. The Holy Spirit will always show up for us. Some of you might think that my ordeal on Friday was just a bunch of coincidences, but like I said, I really think it was the Spirit at work. And so it made this story of Eldad and Medad a little bit more inviting to me, what God was doing. I hope that all of us would be as open as they were to God's presence in our lives. I hope that we would be guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the work that God has called each one of you to do. When it's mysterious, when it's unexpected, when we're off to the side and God just sort of brings us in. I hope that we all experience the peace that passes understanding when the Holy Spirit uses us and collaborates with us to serve and bless others, because that's sort of what the point is, that we as the body of Christ serve one another, bless one another, encourage one another, look out for each other, and invite more people to the party. Come invite more people in, because that's what the Holy Spirit is about. This is all for God's good and God's glory. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to the church and to us. Help us to become more aware of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives and to listen to the promptings of the Spirit to do the work you have called and equipped us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're glad that you could be with us today. If you would like more information about our church, visit our website at nationalprez.org. That's nationalprez.org. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing our podcast with your friends and giving us a rating. If you haven't already, be sure to click the subscribe button. See you next week.